Today we're going to Be'ezras Hashem finish up the sixth parak and begin the seventh parak of Maseches Erevin. The sixth parak is going to conclude with the discussions of a house that's between two chatzeros and what the status of that house is. Is it considered a bayis or is it considered a beis shar? Is it considered its own separate residence or is it considered to be a gateway for people going from one side to the other? The seventh parak is going to discuss if you have two neighboring chatzeros. The beginning of the seventh parak, if you have two neighboring chatzeros, can they be considered a single chatzer and join us in a single erev? And when are they considered separate from each other enough that they have to make two separate erevin? So the beginning of the parak talks about how large a window has to be and how low down the window has to be in order to connect two chatzeros from each other. And then at the end of the daf, we'll see if we get there, but the Mishnah at the end of the daf discusses when a wall between two chatzeros divides them to the point that they can't join in the same erev anymore, and how that halacha might change if the wall gets breached at some point on Shabbos. Now, just to come back to something that we mentioned at the very end yesterday, the Gemara had said that if you have two chatzeros, zu lefnim mizu, and you have a goy in the inner chatzer, so the bnei achitzona are not allowed to carry in the outer chatzer, and it's not the same din as when you have a Jew living in the inner chatzer, where an individual Jew living in the inner chatzer is not going to aser, because regala mutaris b'mekoma eino seris, since the single Jew in the inner chatzer is allowed to carry in his chatzer, so he's not going to aser on the outer chatzer. So, but the same does not hold true by a goy living in the inner chatzer. And the reason for the difference was, we said that by the Jew, the people who don't know that he doesn't aser on the chitzona will assume that he must have made an eruv with the chitzona, that the people in the chitzona and the Yisrael living in the inside must have made an eruv with each other, so they're not going to assume anything is wrong. But when it comes to a goy, everyone knows that he was never socher his rishus to them, because if he were socher his rishus to them, mifapai, he would be screaming about it. He would be telling everybody about it, because the derech of a nachri is to be tzoik and to be machriz, to publicize everything that he does. And therefore, if the nachri was masker his rishus, we would all know about it. From the fact that we don't know about him being masker his rishus, everyone's going to assume that there's something wrong here, that people are carrying even though he asers on them. Again, people aren't going to realize that he doesn't really aser me'ikra din. But this idea comes up in halacha. The post can bring this idea that the stam nachri is mifapai, that he'll always talk, is brought up in halacha in the oddest of all places in terms of the application of this halacha. There is a discussion about an isha aguna, a woman whose husband went away and never came back, and we don't know if the husband is dead or alive. So the halacha is we rely on less than perfect edus to say that the husband has died, if the husband is dead, and not only less than perfect edus, even if a guy tells us that the husband is dead, that he saw the husband dead, as long as the guy is masiach lefitumo, he doesn't realize we're relying on him la'alacha, and he's just saying it as a matter of fact, that this is what happened, we're allowed to rely on the guy to say the woman's husband is dead. So the poskim discuss, what about a goy masiach lefitumo that didn't see firsthand that the husband is dead? He heard from another guy who is also masiach lefitumo. Is that good enough? Can you have a goy masiach lefitumo b'shem another guy that's masiach lefitumo that the woman's husband is dead? So in Shulchan Aruch, Neven Ezra, Simon Yud Zayin, Sivta Zayin, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, even based on one guy saying from another guy, the woman's allowed to get remarried. And the Ramah says, there's a machlokas whether the second guy has to tell us beferush that the first guy was masiach lefitumo, or it's just good enough that the second guy tells us that he heard from the first guy that the husband is dead. But maybe the second guy doesn't have to say beferush that he was masiach lefitumo. Truma sedeshin is mekel, the ran is machmir, is a machlokas haposkim. Does he have to say it beferush? So the netziv in the tshuva in meshiv dover chelik dal simul chav hey, the netziv writes that even the ran who's machmir, that the first guy cannot be assumed to be masiach lefitumo unless we're told explicitly that he is only machmir when it seems that he wasn't masiach lefitumo. For instance, in the case of a guy who didn't know the Jew, so it's not mistaver that lefitumo, he's just going to start to talk about somebody that he never knew, that he didn't have any connection with, and talk about that he's dead. It's more mistaver that they asked him about it and he responded to the questions, which is not masiach lefitumo. They were asking him clearly because it was an urgent matter, and he's responding knowing that they're relying on him for some urgent matter. But if he knew the Jew, and it could be that that he said it without being asked. So then, even the Ran, who's more machmir, is not going to be choshesh. Would assume that the guy is masiach fitumo. And where do we get this idea that the guy probably is just masiach fitumo? He says, like it says in Erev in Dafayin Heyamid Beis, that a guy is always tzoik and masaper masav. He always tells everything that's going on in his life. He's the idea of siyag lechach mashtika doesn't necessarily apply to an achri. They're always gonna be talking. So he's we assume that if he had any connection to this Jew, so it's very likely that he spoke Masiach Vitumo, and then everyone would agree in that situation. I just thought that was an interesting application of this concept that the guy is always going to be Mifapai. So we left off Amar Vidom Shmuel about 8 lines before the end of the page on Daf Ayin Hamid Beis. Amar Vidom Shmuel Yud Batim Zelif Nemizeh. If you have 10 houses, one inside of the other, so meaning there's one house that opens up into a chatzer with a whole bunch of other houses, but one of these houses that opens up into the chatzer has other houses behind it that do not open up into the chatzer, that their only way into the chatzer is through this outer house. So there's another house behind it, another one behind it, another one behind it, 10 houses, Zulif Nemizu. So who participates in the Eruv? So Pnimi Nosenes Eruvo Vidayo, the innermost house, meaning the one furthest away from the chatzer is the one that participates in the Erev, and that's enough. That's enough to be matir everything. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Chitzon. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even the outermost house can be the one to participate in the Erev. Says more, the outermost house, Chitzon, Beis Sharhu. Well, the Chitzon is only a Beis Shar, meaning the Chitzon is a gateway for the inner houses to get to the chatzer. So how can, and the halacha is that Beis Shar doesn't participate in an Erev. So how can you say that the chitzon can give the bread to participate in the Erev? So says Mar, no, we don't mean the outermost one. We mean chitzon shel pnimi. We mean the one that is second to the most innermost one. It's the second furthest away, the ninth one. It is more chitzon than the pnimi, and that's why we call it chitzon. So b'maika mifli, what's this machlokas about? Does the one that's furthest away from the chatzer participate in the Erev, or does the one that is second most furthest away from the chatzer participate in the Erev? What is that machlokas about? So mar savar beishar diyachit shmei beishar, mar savar lo shmei beishar. They argue about when something is a Beis Shar for only a single individual, like the house that's the second most furthest away from the Chatzar, it's only a Beis Shar for the one that is furthest away from the Chatzar, it's not a Beis Shar for anybody else. So does that count as a Beis Shar that's ineligible to participate in the Erev? Or does that not count as a Beis Shar? So that seems to be the machlokas. Shmuel holds Beis Shar Shal Yachid is considered a Beis Shar, and therefore does not participate in the Erev, does not need to participate in the Erev. Rabbi Yochanan holds that Beis Shar Shal Yachid is not considered a Beis Shar, and therefore the second furthest away does participate in the Erev. Well, how do we paskin? You have Machlokas Rav, Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. So typically speaking, Machlok, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. But there's a complicating factor over here, and that is that there's going to be a Gemara 10 blat from now in Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis, where it's going to say that a person lives in a Beis Shar Shal Yachid, he does not aser on the Bnei Chatzer, and he does not have to participate in the Erev. So that seems to be against Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that a Beis Shar Shal Yachid does have to participate in the Erev. So it turns out, therefore, that there are Rabbim that hold that a Beis Shar Shal Yachid is considered a Beis Shar that are cholik on Rabbi Yochanan. It's not just Rabbi Yochanan against Shmuel. It's Rabbi Yochanan against a multiplicity of opinions. So the klal is Yachid v'Rabim halacha k'Rabim. So now we have a stira in klale hapsak had a paskin over here. So there are three basic approaches in the Rishonim. Tosfos in Dibur Maskel v'Rebbe suggests that there's no stira between the two sugyas. That the Gemara later on is speaking about a beis shar of a chatzer, and that's why it's not considered a dira. The machlok Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan over here is a beis shar of a yachid. Is whether a Beis Shar of Yachid is considered Dira is talking about a Beis Shar of a bias that's made for Dira. So it's a completely different type of a Beis Shar. The Rashba and the Ritva quote this Chilik, and they say because of that, even if the Halacha is not like Rabbi Yochanan, when Rabbi Yochanan is against the Rabbim, only the Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan when he's against the Yachid, when he's against Shmuel, still over here the Halacha is going to be like Rabbi Yochanan, that a Beis Shar Shal Yachid is not happens to Rabbi Shar, because the only one that argues on Rabbi Yochanan is Shmuel. The other Gemara is a totally different case, and that's how the Rambam paskins in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Erevin that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. As long as you can make that sugya ten blatt from now about something else, so that we have a straightforward machlokas Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, klal is you pass like Rabbi Yochanan. End of story. The Ravid quoted by that Rashba says no, there's no chilik between the two sugyas. What type of beishar we're talking about? It's talking about the same type of beishar, and the sugya later on, Rav holds like Shmuel that a beishar of a yachid is considered a beishar in that sugya. So even though when you have machlokas Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, and when we have machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. But when it's both Rav and Shmuel against Rabbi Yochanan, then Rav and Shmuel are going to be able to team up yachid v'rabim halacha kirabim, and that's why the Ravid says straightforward we paskin against Rabbi Yochanan, we paskin like Rav and Shmuel. So those are the two primary possibilities. Then the Rashba and the Ritva quote from the Gaonim that paskin halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan against the Rabbim, that they say in a chinami the analysis of the sugya of the Ravid is correct, that the Gemara is talking about the same thing, and you're right, it's Rabbi Yochanan against the Rabbim. But if we pass like Rabbi Yochanan against Shmuel, and we pass like Rabbi Yochanan against Rav, so we're going to pass like Rabbi Yochanan against Rav and Shmuel. So the analysis of the sugya is like the Ravid said, but the psak is still going to be like the Rambam and like the Balei Atosa said, that we're still going to pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Those are the three basic approaches in the Rishonim. Okay, back to the Gemara now. Says the Gemara three lines from the bottom. Om Rav Nachman, Om Rav Baravua, Om Rav. Base chatzeros, the gimel bottom beinehen, if you have two chatzeros, and in between the two chatzeros, there are three houses that are all adjacent to each other that connect the two chatzeros. Ze ba derech ze v'nosin eruvo bazeh, v'ze ba derech ze v'nosin eruvo bazeh, ze nasa beis shalos ze v'ze nasa. So if you have two chatzeros, three houses in between them, members of each chatzer can place their eruv in the middle of the three houses. They go through the house that's closest to their chatzer to the middle house, and that's where they place the eruv, and they use the house that borders their chatzer as a base shar. It's just a gateway toward that middle house. And the middle house is the bias that the Erev is kept in, and because it's the bias that the Erev is kept in, they don't need to participate and to contribute bread, because that just happens to be the rule, that the halacha is that the house that the Erev is kept in does not have to contribute toward the Erev. Good, so that's the halacha. Next case. Badaklu Ruchava the Rabbanan. Beis Chatzeros or Beis Batim Benehen. So Ruchava asked the Rabbanan, what if you have two Chatzeros, and in between the two Chatzeros, instead of having three houses, you have only two houses between the two Chatzeros? Zeh ba derech zeh v'nasne ruvu b'zeh, v'zeh ba derech zeh v'nasne ruvu b'zeh. Kanu Erev, Olo. What's the halacha if you have two houses between the two Chatzeros, and each Chatzer placed the Erev in the house that was further from it? Do we assume, the Gemara is going to explain the question, is this Kan Erev or not? What's the Shaila about? Mi Meshavilu Lugabe Dahai Bayis, Lugabe Dahai Beishar, Lugabe Dahai Beishar, Lugabe Dahai Bayis. Can you take the same structure and say that for Chatzer number one, this structure is considered a bias in that, look, we're keeping our Erev here, but for structure number two, they only consider it a base shar, because they don't keep their, the other chatzah doesn't keep their eruv there, they use it as a base shar to get to the house that's further from it to keep their eruv. Can the same location be both a bias and a base shar at the same time? Can it wear two hats at the same time? That is the shaila. So in the case of the three, it was somewhat simpler, because the two outer houses were both considered a base shar, and the inner house was a bias for everybody. This complicates it, because now you have a bias and a beis shar being the same place. So Amalei Shnei and Lo Kanu Erev. So they said, no, neither one is Kona and Erev. It doesn't work because Manavshach I beis shar Mashvislei Hanosin Es Eruv beis shar Achsadra and Pesdeinu Erev. If you want to consider this place to be a beis shar, well then it cannot house an Erev. Putting an Erev in a beis shar doesn't work. And I bias Mashvislei Kometalta LeBayis to Loma Arivlei. And if you want to consider it a bias, well then you're being metalta to a bias that that didn't that that's not con- that's not included in the Eruv. So meaning either way, it's not going to work. It can't be both a bayis and a beis shar. So Umay Shnami de Rava says, but wait a second, why can't it work as both? Is it really true that we never take something and give it two hats and have two different identities simultaneously? Sure we do. What about what Rava taught us? Dama Rava, Amru lo Shnayim, Tseva Areva Lenu, Le'echad Iriv Elav Miba Odyom, U'le'echad Iriv Elav Ben Hashmashos. Let's say two people, someone says to two people, go and make an Eruv for us. Two people said to a person, go make an Eruv for us. For one of the people, he made an Eruv on Friday when it was still light outside. The other person, he made the Eruv for when it was already Ben Hashmashos going into Shabbos. Zeshi Iriv Elav Miba Odyom Nechal Eruvo Ben Hashmashos, V'zeshi Iriv Elav Ben Hashmashos Nechal Eruvo Mishet Techshach. As it happens, the person that he put the Eruv out for when it was still Friday daylight, that Eruv got eaten at some point during Ben Hashmashos. It got destroyed at some point during Ben Hashmashos. The guy who put the Eruv out for during Ben Hashmashos, his Eruv survived till after Ben Hashmashos was over, but then it got eaten after Shabbos began. Now the halacha is, as long as the Eruv was in existence during the onset of Shabbos, when Shabbos began, it's perfectly good. So what do we assume over here? Do we assume that Ben Hashmashos is Friday, and therefore the guy whose Eruv got eaten during Ben Hashmashos does not have an Eruv because it got eaten before Shabbos began? Or do we assume Ben Hashmashos is Shabbos? And if you assume Ben Hashmashos is Shabbos, the guy who we put the Eruv out for during Ben Hashmashos, it was too late and that Eruv didn't count. Or maybe we can assume some combination of the two. So the halacha is Shnei. We assume some combination of the two. They're both Kona the Erev. Vis-a-vis the guy who the Erev was put out for on Friday, and it got Nechal Ben Hashmashos, we view Ben Hashmashos as Shabbos. But vis-a-vis the guy whose Erev was put out during Ben Hashmashos, and was eaten on Shabbos, we view Ben Hashmashos as Friday. So don't you see, Ben Hashmashos can wear two hats, so why can't the Bayis and the Chatzer be considered both a Bayis and a Beis Shar at the same time? It's not a problem to say a Tarti Desa, to say that the same thing could have two different identities. So says Gemara, no, hachi hashtad, it's a faulty comparison between the two. Hasam safek imama, safek leila, lo minkar amilsa. Aval hacha, idi legabe dahai bayis, legabe dahai bayis. Idi legabe dahai beishar, legabe dahai nami beishar. When you have a ben hashmashos, it's safek yom, safek leila, it's not nicker that we're doing something that's a tarti desasri. It's not so blatantly obvious that there's a tarti desasri over here, and it's not going to look like a joke to say that both of these erivin are valid. But when you take a structure, a single structure, and call it both a bayis and a beishar, well, that's blatantly obvious that it's a tarti desasri, and therefore such a double identity for a single bias is not going to be possible. Now, there is a discussion about the difference between a Ruvei Tchumen and a Ruvei Chatzeros legabe the halacha of Ben Hashmashos. Rashi and other Rishonim hold that you don't put out an Eruv Tchumen lechatchila during Ben Hashmashos, but b'diavad, if you put out an Eruv Tchumen during Ben Hashmashos, it works. But a Ruvei Chatzeros, even lechatchila, you're allowed to be ma'arev Ben Hashmashos. That's how Rashi understands. Many other Rishonim hold that putting out Eruv Tchumen, even b'diavad, does not work Ben Hashmashos. A Ruvei Chatzeros, even lechatchila, you're allowed to do it. So they hold like Rashi about a Ruvei Chatzeros, but the old Ruvei Tchumen even b'diavad won't work during Ben Hashmashos. But apparently there is this idea in Rishonim that we're more machmir by a Ruvei Tchumen when it comes to Ben Hashmashos than we are by a Ruvei Chatzeros. The question is why. So there are three basic approaches in the Rishonim as to why we'd be more machmir on a Ruvei Tchumen than we would by a Ruvei Chatzeros. Rashi in Shabbos Taf Lamedal and Amadal says it's because the Chachamim have an asmachta for Tchumen based on Psukim. So even if you hold Tchumen are Durabanan, but it's a more severe level of a Durabanan. A Durabanan with an Asmachta is more severe than a Durabanan without an Asmachta. The Prima Gadim writes in his Psicha Kalelis, dedicates a lot of space in the Psicha Kalelis to discussing the various levels of Isurim, and he really dispels the notion that people have that there's an Issa Daraisa and an Issa Durabanan. There are only two levels, Daraisa and Durabanan. He says, no, there are lots of different levels. There are multiple levels of a Doraisa. You have a Doraisa that's Mefurish Bekra, a Doraisa that's not Mefurish Bekra. If it's Mefurish Bekra, it's a higher level Doraisa, not Mefurish Bekra, it's a lower level Doraisa. And there are multiple levels of Drabanan. A Drabanan with an Asmachta is a higher level Drabanan, and it's going to be treated more severely than a Drabanan that doesn't have an Asmachta. So that's how Rashi understands why we're more Machmir when it comes to Eruvi Tchumen than we are when it comes to Eruvi Chatzeros. Many other Rishonim say that the chiluk between Eruvi Tchumen and Eruvi Chatzeros is the Gabe putting out an Eruv Ben Ashmashos. That meaning the chiluk that we have about putting an Eruv Ben Ashmashos is that is in regard to the fundamental difference of the nature of Eruvi Tchumen and Eruvi Chatzeros. What are you doing when you make an Eruv Tchumen? You're being Kone Rishos. You're making that your Makom Shvisa. When it comes to Eruvi Chatzeros, you're not doing anything that drastic. You're just sharing with others, but you're not being Kone Rishos. You're not making a brand new Makom Shvisa. So maybe to do something that significant of making a new Makom Shvisa for Shabbos, that you have to be sure that it's still Friday, that it's not Shabbos yet. The Suffolk would not be good enough. This is how the Rashba and the Ritva and the Meiri explain. Tosfos Rashi has a third explanation. He quotes B'Shem HaRav Poras that since a Ruvei Tchumen is a big tircha to go to Alpaya Mama and put down your Erev over there, the Chacham didn't want you doing this during Ben Hashmashos because they thought it would be a bizarre to Shabbos to have someone schlepping around to go to Al-Sof Alpaya Mama to put the Erev Tchumen down. But by Ruvei Chatzeros, they weren't so concerned about this. Another kasha that arises over here, two other issues that should be discussed over here. First, the Har Tzvi, Pesach Frank in his commentary to Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed Daled, quotes from a Chacham Echad that asked that according to Rashi, that Rava is dealing with a Ruvei Tchumen over here, that our situation of putting out the Erev Ben Hashmashos, where it's going to work, is Legabe Ruvei Tchumen. Now, in the Mishnah, it's clear that L'Chadchila, you're not allowed to put an Erev Tchumen, and that's why Rashi says, yeah, L'Chadchila, you're not allowed to, but B'Diavad, it works. But Al-Tzad, that you're not allowed to do it, that you're not allowed to put out the Erev Tchumen Ben Hashmashos, so why don't we say Shliach L'Dvar Avera? I mean, over here, what happened? You asked the guy to put out your Erev Tchumen, and he put it out during Ben Hashmashos. So shouldn't we say, Shliach L'Dvar Avera, and therefore the Erev is completely invalid? Why is Rava willing to say, yeah, the Erev is perfectly fine, whatever happened to Shliach L'Dvar Avera? So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has five different terutzim to deal with this shaila. He says, first teretz, he says, that he quotes from the Chacham who asked the kasha, is that the chalos kinyan eruv is only on the tzad that it's still daytime. And al tzad that it's still daytime, there's no avera. The isra to be married ben hashmashos, eruv yitchumen is only al tzad that it's already nighttime. So then there's no, it would be an isra, but the shlichus works al tzad that it's still daytime. But the Haratzvi doesn't like that at all, because if that's true, the chalos hashlichus is only outside that it's daytime, why is it also to make an Erev Tchumen Ben Hashmashos L'Chadchila? Outside that it's still daytime, it works. And if they're Asr B'Cholof, and even if you make a Tanai that it should only be Chal if it's still daytime, so then the Kasha would go back that Ein Shlichus L'Dvar Aveira. He doesn't understand how you could split outside this, outside that it doesn't seem to work. So Tzvi Pesach Frank suggests, based on Tosfos and Masechta Bava Metzia, that the Isra of Shliach, that just because Ein Shlichus L'Dvar Aveira, Tosfos holds, doesn't necessarily mean it's mevatel the shlichus. That's a major discussion in the Rishonim. Most Rishonim assume it is ein shliach l'dvar aveira, means it's not a shlichus, right? Tosfos says no, it just means that you can't make a shliach l'dvar aveira, meaning that the aveira is shayach to the shaliach and not to the mishaleach, but the shlichus is still a shlichus, meaning the maisa, that the chalos that he tried to create, is still considered a shlichus. This is a major discussion when it comes to the heter mechira in Eretz Yisrael, right? That if you set the government or the rabbanim to be your shliach, the rabbanut, let's say, to be your shliach, to sell your field to an Arab, so is that, and you hold that it's an isser of lo sechanim to sell land in Eretz Yisrael, so you're essentially making them a shliach l'dvar avera. So the defenders of the Heter Mechira say, well, wait a second, even if, and they try to argue that it's not an isser of lo sechanim, but even if it is an isser of lo sechanim, who says it doesn't work? Who says that the sale doesn't work, that it's invalid if someone does it? Meaning, let's say I, the consumer, hold that it's a violation of Los Chanim. The farmer doesn't think it's a violation of Los Chanim, so he does it. But maybe as a consumer, I could assume that it's going to work, even though I think it's a violation of Los Chanim. Maybe Shlichus Dvar Avera does work as a Shlichus. Also, Tosfos and Kiddushin of Mem Gimel and Beis says that when the Shliach does the Maisa B'Shogeg, you don't have the concept of Ein Shliach Dvar Avera, because the Maisa is Mesiach, is then to the Mishaleach. So you can say over here also, the shliach maybe didn't know that there's an issue to be ma'ariv ben hashmashos, and therefore there's no issue of ein shliach ledvar avera. So you have that possibility as well. And then he suggests, based on the base meir and Evin Ezer, base meir and Evin Ezer points out the kasha that all the achronim ask, that if you hold that there's shlichus lenachri lechumra, that you could have shlichus for a goy lechumra, why do we need to say that amir la'akum is asr midrabanu mishum shvus on Shabbos? Shouldn't we just say that it's asr mishum shlichus? Some rishonim taka say that way, that that's what the shvus is, that the isr of amir la'akum is an isr of shlichus legoy. But other achronim say, if it's not a din of shlichus, why isn't it a din of shlichus? So the Beis Meir says that when it comes to Yisuri Shabbos, it's not shayach any din of shlichus, because the whole hakpad of the Torah is on the menucha and the shvisa of the guf of the person himself. So there, then it would turn out, if there's not the whole concept of shlichus, not shayach to inyanei Shabbos, so there's no chisaron of shlichus l'dvar avera, because by Yisuri Shabbos there's no concept of shlichus l'dvar avera. He's not even if he's not doing anything with his shlichus, shavis b'shabbos. Meaning, even when you do a shlichus, you're being shavis b'shabbos. Your guf is being shavis b'shabbos. So we wouldn't say the whole concept of ein shliach l'dvar avera over here. Okay, he has other terutzim as well. But the other issue that's discussed over here is this chilik that we have between ben hashmashos versus, where we say ben hashmashos, it's not going to be a chuch v'tlula, it's not going to be a joke, it's perfectly fine during ben hashmashos for ben hashmashos to be both yom and layla legabe two different people's eruvin. But when it comes to a bias, it's got to either be a bias or it's got to be a beis shar. So the Ritva and the Ran write that ben hashmashos is mktsasim in a yom, mktsasim in a layla. So it could be that one of them, that legabe one of the eruvin was be yom, and legabe the other eruv it was belayla. So the Meretz Chayis in Shabbos Taf Lamed Daled says, why isn't this nicker? One person puts out an eruv for two different people. So for him, isn't it nicker that you're considering it Laila for one of the people and Yom for the other one? And he's working on behalf of both those people. It's the same shliach that's working on behalf of both of them. So Meretz Chayis suggests, based on the Gemara in Shabbos, that Ben Hashmashos Safik Min Yom Umin Laila Safik Kula Min Yom Safik Kula Min Laila. Ben Hashmashos, there are three possibilities of what Ben Hashmashos is. It may all be day, it may all be night, it may be partially day and partially night. There are three sveikos of Ben Hashmashos. So he says, maybe what happened over here, says Meretz Chayis, is the guy put out the Eruv for one person during Yom, then he put out the Eruv for the other person, the second person, during Ben Hashmashos, then later during Ben Hashmashos, the Eruv for the first guy got eaten, and then after Ben Hashmashos, the Eruv for the second guy got eaten. And therefore, it could be that when he put out the second Eruv, it was still Yom, the Yom part of Ben Hashmashos. When the first Eruv got eaten, it was already the Laila part of Ben Hashmashos. But points as says Mareshos Moshe, based on the Meretz Chayis, it would turn out, the Meretz Chayis learns, that it only works if it's done Kaseder Azeh. But if a person were to put out the Eruv for the second guy after the Eruv for the first guy got eaten, meaning, let's say in the first 5 minutes of Ben Hashmashos, the Eruv for the first guy got eaten, and then the next 5 minutes of Ben Hashmashos puts out the Eruv for the second guy, according to the Meretz Chayis' understanding, that won't work, because then it's going to be very nicker for this one shliach. He says, yeah, that's only if it's the same shliach, but maybe if it's two different shluchim, then you could view it as two different sveikos, and then it's not going to be nicker, it's not going to be problematic, but that's the analysis of Meretz Chayis. Okay, let's begin. Hadron Lechadars, let's begin the seventh parak of Masech Seir. Chalon Shebein Beis Chatzeros, Dalar Dalit Besol Chasara Ma'arvin. If you have a window between two chatzeros and the window is 4x4 tefachim within 10 tefachim of the ground, you can make an eruv between the two chatzeros. Ma'arvin Shnayim. You make v'imratzu Ma'arvin Echad. They can make two separate eruvin, and if they want, they can make one eruv. They're allowed to join together. Pachus midalal al dalal malam e'asara Ma'arvin Shnayim ve'ein Ma'arvin Echad. But if the window is tiny, it's less than 4x4 tefachim, or it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground, then they make two separate eruvin. They cannot make the same eruv. Why, when it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground, is the window all of a sudden not a connector between the two chatzeros? Because a mechitza, Rashi points out, that's 10 tefachim high, is a valid mechitza. So even if you dalmei hacha the whole upper part of the wall, anything that's above 10 tefachim, the whole thing could be wide open, and would still be a valid mechitza, a complete mechitza that separates between the two chatzeros. So dafka, the window needs to be within 10 tefachim of the ground, within the makom that would still be called the mechitza. So the Sfasemis raises we'll get to, let's see the Gemara first. Lema tzan stomach, Reb Shimon Gamliel. Wait, our Mishnah, by identifying 4x4 tefachim is the key number, seems to be assuming like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Damar kol pachos midalid kilavudami. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds anything less than 4 tefachim is considered to be loved, and that's apparently why the window has to dafka be 4x4 tefachim, because we're interested in the window being considered open and not being considered closed. So it says Gemara, filu teimak rabbanon. We could even be assuming like the rabbanon that loved is 3 tefachim. Still, the window over here needs to be larger than just not being subject to loved. When it comes to what's a chashuv of Pesach, it needs to be more than just not loved. It needs to be something more significant than that. So Sfasema says, according to the reason the Gemara assumed that the shear of a chalon is dal tfachim, because if it's less than dal tfachim, it's a din of loved, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. So wait a second, isn't there a shita that we don't say loved lahachmir? The Darkei Moshe writes in some Tavkuf Beis that we never say love of the Hachmir. He has a raya from a Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara in Sukkah says that if you have schach pasul less than 4 tefachim on one side and less than 4 tefachim on the other side, and in between them there's avir, there's airspace that's less than 3 tefachim, that would be mashlim. If you were to connect it, it would be mashlim the shear of schach pasul to pasul the whole Sukkah. So we don't say that love of the Hachmir. What we say is you have less than the shear of schach pasul here, less than the shear of avir that would pasul, and less than the shear of schach pasul. We don't say love it, because we don't say love of the Hachmir. So ask the Sfasemis. If you don't say love of the Hachmir, so how could we say love of the Hachmir over here? We're going to say that this window is considered closed, and therefore you can't connect the two chatzeros to each other. So he's metaritz that even in the Gemara's Kasha, it knew that the Shir v'chalon has to do with Chashivus HaPesach. It's just that the Gemara thought that we define Chashivus based on the same Shir that we define Lovud. But it's not that we're using Lovud to say that it's considered closed off over here. No, we wouldn't say that it's closed off, but the Gemara knew that in order for something to be considered a Pesach, it has to be a Makom Chashuv. What's called a Makom Chashuv? That's what the Gemara thought in the Avamina, that a Makom Chashuv would be defined by the same shear that we define Lavud. And the Maskar of the Gemara said, no, maybe they have different shiurim for Makom Chashuv versus shear for Lavud. By the way, other Rishonim, Magen Avram, really is not so convinced by that Raya from the Tosfos in Maseches in Maseches Sukkah, because it could be in that situation with the schach pasul, we will say lavud, but just because we say lavud, we view the airspace in between as if it's closed off. It doesn't mean that it's closed off with the same material that's flanked with on both sides. It could be closed off, viewed as if it's closed off with something else, not with schach pasul. So he's not convinced that that's a raya that we don't say lavud lahachmir over there. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now. Pachos midalin. If it's less than 4x4 tefachim, and or it's lamala me'asara, so then they have to, the chateros have to join two separate erev, and they can't be in the same erev. Pshita akimin damidal adal b'toch asara me'lana yadana depachos midalin lamala me'asara lo. Since it says it has to be 4x4 tefachim and within asara of the ground, so I know that if it doesn't fit that criteria, the second half of the mission is unnecessary. I know if it doesn't fit the criteria, it won't connect the two chateros. Hakamashmon time of the kulei lamala miyod avu mutasa b'toch. Now the chiddush is that it doesn't need to be entirely within 10 tefachim, just some of the window needs to be within 10 tefachim. Over here the word kulo means rubo. If the majority of it is above 10 tefachim but part of it is within 10 tefachim, or the majority is within 10 tefachim part of it is above 10 tefachim, so that's enough of a connector, they can make the same Erev Chatzeros together. So wait a second, hasha kulo l'mal miyur why do you have to tell me both of these cases? If even when the majority is above 10 tefachim, it's still enough of a connector, when the majority is within 10 tefachim, isn't it obvious that it connects the two chatzeros? So zuvein tzarech lomar zukatani. Yeah, in achinami, it's no great chiddush. It's just telling me it's written in the style of zuvein tzarech lomar zu, starting with the greatest chiddush and then saying, and therefore obviously the lesser chiddush. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, chalon agul tzarech sheyeh bekefo esrim arba tfachim the ushnayim umashu mehen betoch yod. If you want to have a connecting window between two chatzeros, that's a round window, not a square window. So we know a square window has got to be four tfachim by four tfachim. So a little geometry over here. So it says if it's going to be a round window, it needs to have a circumference of 24 tfachim, and two and a mashahu have to dip below 10 tfachim, have to be within 10 tfachim from the ground. Shem yiravenu nimsa mashu betoch yod, because you want to be able to draw a square inside that circle where at least a mashu of that square is going to be within 10 tfachim of the ground. So michti, is this a valid? Is this right? Are the mathematics correct over here? Kol sheyesh bekefo shlosha tfachim yesh baruch v'tefach. We know that pi is 3, says the Gemara. We always have the right to assume in Shas that pi is 3, not 3.14. Okay, good. We make that assumption. So betracer sagya. So what is the equivalent in circle of a 4 tefach square? Meaning, if you have a circle with a diameter of 4 tefachim, so the circumference should be 12 tefachim. So I should only need a 12 tefach circumference. Why does he say I need a 24 tefach circumference? Twice the size. Literally, you should only need a 12 tefach circumference. Says Gemara, Hani Mili Biagula. No, you're talking about a circle that has a 4 tefach diameter. Avul Buribua being on Tve. But if you're going to square it off, then you're going to need more space to square it off, to square off the area. Okay, so Michti. Kama Merubi Yisrael Igul Revia. A square is 1/4 larger than the circle. So b'shitzer sagya. So if you have if the circle would be a 12 tefach circumference, so you should only need a 16 tefach circumference for to have something that equals the equivalent of a square of that size. Meaning a square with a side of 4 tefachim is a valid window. So a circle with a diameter of 4 tefachim is not valid because the circle is smaller than a square. But if you expand the circle to be the equivalent of the square, so you would only need a 16 tefach circumference. So hani mili igula, just like a 16 tefach perimeter of a 4x4 tefach window. So it says Gemara, no, hani mili igula denafik migo revua. That's when you're trying to draw a circle inside a square. Avul revua denafik migo igula bin antfe. When you're trying to draw a square inside the circle, so the circle is going to be bigger than the square. So my time, mishum morsha de karnasa, because you have the extra areas off of the corners. So michti, kol amsa beribua amsa betrechum shibalachsona. So says Gemara, let's try to figure out what is the diagonal of a square that fits inside of a circle. Meaning, what would be the diameter of a circle that would have a 4x4 tefach square in it? So what's if the sides of the square are 4 tefach, so are 4 tefachim, so any amma on the side of the square is an amma v'trechumshi is 1.4 ammos in the diagonal. So if it's if you want to figure out the diameter of the circle that a 4x4 tefach square fits in, so you do 4 tefachim times 1.4, and therefore figure using that diameter as the basis to figure out the circumference of the circle. So b'shivsar nechichum shesagya, you should only need a 16.8 tefach circumference around the circle. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar kidayone dekisri. So says Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan was making the assumption like the dayone dekisri. V'amilak rabbanon dekisri. Some say like the rabbanon of kisri. Da amri igol migu ruvua riva. And the Dayan of the Kisri assume that when you have a square inside a circle, the circle is twice the size of the square. And that's why is not twice the size of the square, is 50% larger than the square. So if the square itself has a 16 tefach perimeter, so the circle around it is going to have a circumference of 24 tefachim. That is completely incorrect mathematically. In geometry, that makes absolutely no sense. The Rishonim struggle with that issue. What in the world were the Dayanim of the Kisri thinking? Some of the Rishonim say, no, they couldn't have been making such a terrible mistake. They retranslate the mistake and say Rabbi Yochanan just misapplied them. But then what was Rabbi Yochanan thinking? Meaning, you're going to have a problem over here no matter what. Okay, Pachs Midal Adal. We said if it's less than 4x4 Tefachim, it doesn't count as a window. Amrav Nachman Loshan Lal Chalon Shabin Beis Chatzeros of a Chalon Shabin Beis Bat Mafil Malame Asara Nami Imratulav Marvin Echad. But that's only a window between two Chatzeros. But a window between two houses, they can join together with such a window with that's more than 10 tefachim off the ground. My time, basic command of dama dummy, because we view the whole house as if it's filled in. For everything, even in houses, it needs to be dalar adal betochasara. So how can you say it could be lamalame asara by houses? So tirgumah chatzeros. No, only by chatzeros needs to be within 10 tefachim. But he said even by houses. No, even by houses it needs to be 4x4 tefachim. But it does not need to be within 10 tefachim of the ground by houses. If you have a little opening in between if you have a hole in between a ground floor and an attic that's more than 10 tefachim off the ground, do you need a ladder to connect the two areas or not? Do we assume that basic command of mali dami would apply even for a window that isn't on a side wall of the house but it's in a ceiling or not? Or basic command of mali dami is only for a side window? Samalei einot sarach, he says, does not require a ladder to connect them. So we thought, no, you don't need a sulam kavua, but you need some sort of sulam there. Say it, you don't need any sort of sulam over there. It's automatically considered to be connected because the basic command of Mali Dami even works for a hole in the ceiling, not just for a hole on the side wall. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up the Mishnah tomorrow.